We're taking a couple weeks off, and we're getting toward the end of Revelation now. We're getting up to Revelation chapter 17. And Revelation chapter 17 and 18 is Babylon the Great. And we've been going through the tribulation period since chapter 4 and all the things happening with the tribulation period. And you can kind of liken what's gone on so far as back in World War II, when they used to invade islands of the Japanese and other invasions. They would soften them up first. And they would, like Iwo Jima, Saipan, they would send in all the bombers, they would send in the battleships and shell the place and bomb it and soften it up. And that's what God is doing here in the tribulation period with this earth. It's being bombed with divine judgments. It's being softened up preparatory to the final invasion in Revelation chapter 19. So we're getting toward the end of the tribulation period here with Babylon the Great. And so the question is, and of course you've heard me before talk about Babylon the Great, and the question is, what is Babylon the Great? Who is Babylon the Great? Well, some people have divided 17 and 18 into two different Babylon the Greats. They have the religious one and the physical one. Well, there's two different aspects, spiritual and physical aspects, but they're the same place, the same entity, Babylon the Great. And of course, this is a little bit technical with some history in it. Talking here, and the Bible is full of history, and we have this chapter full of history. But remember, we have a blessing for studying the book of Revelation. And we don't want to dwell on the book of Revelation all the time. There are some preachers that do nothing but study Revelation and prophecy. We don't want to do that, but we do want to give it its proper attention. It's part of the Word of God, and it's telling us what's going to happen in the future. And you know, Jesus said he was our friend. Of course, today they like to reduce Jesus to nothing but a friend. And on our same level, he's not on our same level, but he said he was a friend because he shows us what he's going to do. And he's showing us what he's going to do here in the book of Revelation. And so we have Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So Babylon the Great is a great whore. And it corrupts the earth. And as I've said before, the only entity in the world today that would remotely satisfy Babylon the Great would be the United States. And we're going to go through 17 and 18, and we're going to show how the United States fits into all this here. And you know, it's kind of painful to say that the United States would be the great whore. They would be Babylon the Great. You know, we have a wonderful past in the United States. And Tim was talking in Sunday school about over George Washington's grave, it has scripture there. I am the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me. And it goes right on through that. And, you know, a sign of our great heritage was Thanksgiving this past week. And it's really amazing that we keep celebrating that in the United States. It's a Christian holiday. It goes back to our Christian heritage. And the United States was a Christian nation in the past, a very Christian nation. I believe it peaked its Christianity during Prohibition around 1929. And since then, it has been going downhill. But the United States was a Christian nation. Our founders and the Constitution set up the United States on a Christian foundation. It has a setup that's Christian. And it was Christian. And we want the United States to continue to be Christian. And we work to that end. But we as Christians, I think sometimes we get a little bit too much thinking about the United States as it was and as we want it to be. The problem is the United States of today is not like that. And you know, Barack Obama, he said, it's been quoted by him, that America is not a Christian nation. And we don't like that because we want to go back to our heritage, that we want the United States to be a Christian nation. But there was some truth in what he said. It's not a Christian nation today. And the United States has gone far from its Christian roots. Far, far, far. When you got abortion going on in this country for 50 years, and every day 4,000 babies being murdered, millions and millions and millions of babies, and so many other things with our nation. And now we got gay marriage, and it's a sad thing where the United States has come. And of course, the whore is someone that has turned away from their husband. And our husband in the United States used to be God, but now the United States has turned away from God. Let's go back to Ezekiel just for a minute. Keep your thumb here or finger here, but Ezekiel chapter 23. And this might give us a little bit of a indication how something that can be so godly can turn so bad. We got Ezekiel chapter 23. Ezekiel chapter 23, and starting with verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 23. Here it's talking about Israel and Judah. It says, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. And they committed whoredoms in Egypt." And then you go down to verse 3, or verse 4. "And the names of them were Aholah and the elder, and Aholibah, her sister. And they were mine, and they have sons and daughters. Thus were their names. Samaria is Aholah, and Jerusalem Aholibah." And you know, this is God's chosen people being talked about here. The chosen people, specially chosen by God, brought up by God through the centuries. And here God calls them whores, calls them Aholah and Aholibah. And notice, with all the symbols in Scripture, the symbol stands for something. It's not just something up in the air, and you can make it into whatever you want to make it into, which is what the amillennialists will do with Revelation. But no, this is Aholah. It tells us Aholah is Samaria, the northern kingdom, and Aholibah, Jerusalem. And then go on, verse 5. "And Aholah played the harlot when she was mine, and she doted on her lovers, on the Assyrians, her neighbors, which were clothed with blue, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding upon horses. Thus she committed her whoredoms with them, with all of them that were chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted, with all their idols. She defiled herself." So here Israel, Judah, they have turned away from God in the time of Ezekiel, and they are called whores. Then you go down to verse 11. "And when her sister Aholibah saw this, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she, and in her whoredoms more than her sister in her whoredoms." Talking about Judah. "She doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gloriously, gorgeously. Horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, that they took both one way." And so here we have Aholah and Aholibah. And go back to Revelation now. But, you know, we don't like to think about the United States as the great whore, but it's turning into that. And it has turned into that. Been that way for a while now. 50 years with abortion. You know, abortion is a good barometer. of how bad this country is, with abortion keeps on going on and going on. And with this election that just happened, I had a friend of mine. He was saying how he wasn't for Trump, and because all the politicians, they always go the same way, whether they're Republican or Democrat, and they're not going to get rid of abortion anyway. And well, you know, he has some truth to that, but at least Trump says that he's against abortion. And that's a beginning. And it's a beginning to say you're against it. And you don't want to take somebody that says they're for abortion, they're certainly not going to be against it. Well, anyway, going back to Revelation chapter 17, she's the whore that sits upon many waters. And we're going to have that shown to us later on, that the waters are many peoples that the United States sits on. And so I'm going to put the United States into everything as we go through here and see how it fits. Well, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. What kind of fornication is this? This is spiritual fornication. Spiritually, they've been turned away from the Lord by Babylon the Great. Is the United States turning people away from the Lord today? It is, definitely. You know, you have countries in Africa, in the Middle East, that are against the homosexuals, and homosexuality is illegal in Cameroon. But the United States is putting pressure on them to make homosexuality legal. They're corrupting. The United States is corrupting. And of course, you talk about the deep state today, and the deep state is there. And even if Trump is at the top, he has all that bureaucracy that's all in place there working evil. And it's just like, talk about draining the swamp, it's pretty difficult to drain the swamp. And he's done a little bit that way, but it's still quite a bit of swamp there. And you know, anyway, the United States is corrupting the world, but it's not just corrupting through the government, it's corrupting through its culture that's spreading all over the world. And the United States is the one that spreads culture all over the world through its music. The great music of the world comes from the United States. People all over the world listen to it, and it's some nasty music. And then there's nasty movies and TV that come out of the United States. And you just see all the dark, devilish movies with all the stuff in them, and we're corrupting the world. The internet, we're corrupting the world, making it so easy to get all these things. And where is the internet based? It's based in the United States with Google, with Facebook, with all those big tech things. And, you know, the rest of the world takes its cues from the United States. When we were in Brazil, Brazil especially takes all their cues from the United States. And they take their cues from here, and then they carry them a little bit further sometimes. And so the United States is that great city, as we're going to see later on, that rules over the earth. And what's an indication of somebody ruling over all the earth? Language. What language is the international language today? It is the language of Babylon the Great, of the United States. And of course, the British Empire, we'll get to this in a little bit. I think the British Empire, I'm beginning to change my mind about the seven horns, about the British Empire being the fifth horn. I'm beginning to think it's more the Muslims, but we'll get to that. But the British Empire, it laid the foundation, and the United States took the lead from the British Empire and continued on. But anyway, language is English. I remember being in Turkey. I was in a hotel. They had a Turkish guy behind the desk, somebody from Germany there talking to the Turkish guy, and what were they talking in? They were talking in English. And neither one of them native of English. What does China want today? They want English teachers. And people like to send their English teachers over to China to be missionaries over there. which I'm beginning to doubt whether it's such a great idea. They do minimal missionary work, and you know, China doesn't do anything that's not good for them. And it's good for them to have those English teachers over there. And so that's the language of the entire world, that great city that reigns over all the kings of the earth. Okay, then we go to verse 3. We have the picture again, the symbol, the woman on the scarlet-colored beast. And you got the woman, Babylon the Great, United States, and you got the beast, the Antichrist. And I will give one caveat, is that it's the United States if we are near the time of the end. And I think there's very little doubt that we're near the time of the end. And it would be the United States. And then we got verse 4. She's arrayed with gold, precious stones, pearls. The great costliness, it says in chapter 18 of Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great has great costliness, has great wealth. You know, you go to these other countries, and they have a few freeways, a few interstates, they have a few malls, they have a few of this and that. But you come to the United States, and there are multitudes of those things. And it's a great costliness of Babylon the Great. And just how Babylon the Great, I mean, I always think of Babylon the Great when I see things. You know, nobody pushes wheelchairs in America today, hardly. They got motorized wheelchairs. And we all got deluxe of anything. Nobody has just a plain baby carriage anymore. They got a deluxe baby carriage. And you know, everything's deluxe for Babylon the Great. And then so then we have verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots. And so she's spreading her corruption around the world. And then verse 6. Now here's the thing that people have trouble, I think, with Babylon the Great. Verse 6. She is drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, is the United States drunk with the martyrs? Well, of course, there's still some time to go, probably, and especially during the tribulation period. Babylon the Great will get worse, and there will be probably martyring of Christians. Christians will be accused of hate crimes, and of course, today they'll accuse Christians of hate crimes, getting together without masks, without precautions. They're trying to spread death to the population. Well, that's what we're coming on. And so they're drunk with the blood of the saints. But you know, the United States is responsible for the martyrdoms of the 20th century. If you go back. And I brought a whole pile of books with me here today. 7 books, the number of completion. And we have how the United States, each one of these books deals with how a country was turned over to communism, turned over to the ungodly, turned over to killing Christians through the agency of the United States government, through the United States. And the United States has a lot of responsibility. And you know, the most martyrs that were ever martyred through history have been martyred in China in the 20th century. Millions and millions of them. And the United States was very much responsible for the communists coming to power in China. And I have 2 books here about China. Again, May God Forgive Us, talking about how we turned over China to the communists. And While You Slept. And While You Slept, the communists took over. And of course, we're still suffering with them today. And how does the United States treat the communists today in China? They're still persecuting Christians and killing Christians and putting them in prison. Well, Trump has made some progress on that, trying to cut back on our contact with China and put that down. But you know, we still are the ones that are propping up China and have been the ones that are propping up China, giving them all of our technology, giving them everything. They were made in the United States. And that's how it is. And then just so many countries where they've martyred Christians. Here's background to betrayal. The tragedy of Vietnam. Who betrayed? Well, the United States betrayed them. And they say, well, the worst thing in the world is to be an ally of the United States, because you're likely to end up bad. Just like the Vietnamese. I think about the poor Montagnards who allied with the United States there in Vietnam. What happened to them? You can only imagine. And then World War II. I saw Poland betrayed. Eastern Europe was given over to the communists and the terrible persecutions over there. You know, at the end of World War, well, you know, during World War II, it was the only time in history that a whole army turned from one side to the other side. And General Vlasov in the Soviet army, he took his whole army over to the Germans. And many of them went over and fought with the Germans. Well, what happened to them after World War II? The United States sent them all back to Russia. And what do you suppose happened to them? And not only did they send them back over there, they stopped the Allied advance stopped Patton and the Allies so that Eastern Europe would fall underneath the communists. And besides that, there were 20,000 American prisoners at the end of World War II that were in Russian hands, and they were never released. And Patton was going to come back to the United States and expose that. And what happened to him? He got killed. He got murdered by his own government, really. You can look at the evidence. And you know, there's so many things. And then we got Rhodesia accuses. South Africa, Rhodesia, turned over to the communists. And then we have one here on Cuba, American policy failures in Cuba, and the title is Dagger in the Heart, is what the United States did. And then finally we got Nicaragua betrayed. You notice these are all betrayal. And so when these countries were betrayed to the communists, they set up communist governments and martyred Christians. And so the United States has a lot of responsibility for that. And so we can see already she's responsible for the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. We don't like to think about that our country that's been so godly has gone to those depths. Well, then we go on here. Then we have verse 7. He's going to explain about the Babylon the Great. So we go to verse 8. And when we read up to verse 7 in the response of reading, let's continue to read. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. You know, I have a little trouble reading this Bible. And so I'll tell you, I got another Bible with bigger print to preach out of. But I want to finish the study I'm doing in the same Bible. So I'm still suffering with this one. But anyway, he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life and the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Well, first off, the beast, it talks about verse 8. He was and was not, is not, and is. Well, that's talking about the Antichrist is raised from the dead. He has a deadly wound and he's raised. The beast is the Antichrist. And the people wonder after him, the names that are not written in the book of life. And then we have the seven mountains on which the woman sits, the seven horns. Seven heads, I mean, not horns, seven heads. The seven heads are seven mountains. Mountains in Scripture are kingdoms. And so there's a succession of world kingdoms. We've looked at this a little bit in the past. Seven mountains, seven world kingdoms that have been gone in succession. And Here we have Babylon the Great as one of those in that succession. And, you know, as you look at that, these are world kingdoms that ruled over all of the, you know, Roman world, the known world of back in those days, that included Israel. And so you look at the succession of those kingdoms. And so we know the first four kingdoms from Daniel. We know the first four kingdoms. You got Babylon, you got Persia, Greece, and Rome. First four kingdoms. Now, I was thinking about, what about Assyria? What about Egypt before that? Well, you know, Egypt wasn't much of a world kingdom, and it didn't roll over Israel very much. And Assyria was more of a world kingdom, but it actually never ruled over Judah. It ruled over only the northern kingdom, not the southern kingdom. And so we have those first four, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and then we come to the fifth one. Now, who took over from Rome? And I had said the British Empire. Of course, you have Rome continues. You have the Eastern Roman Empire continues under 1453 AD. And who took over the Eastern Roman Empire? But the Muslims did, the Ottoman Empire and the Muslims. And so I would say the fifth kingdom would be the Muslims and the Ottoman Empire. They took over pretty much the same old empire that the Persians had, that the Greeks had, that all of those ones had, all across northern Africa, Iran, all that area there, and Israel in particular. And then, so that's the fifth one. And then the sixth one is the U.S., and maybe leading up to the U.S., we got the British Empire, a little bit with the U.S. And then we got the seventh, which is the revived Roman Empire, it's been called, with the 10 kings. You know the statue of Daniel, it goes down to the feet of the statue with the different parts, gold, silver, and down at the bottom you have Rome, which is iron. Then you got the fifth and sixth kingdoms, which are iron mixed with clay down at the bottom. And then you got the 10 toes, which are the 10 horns, which are the same thing, the 10 horns. And so that's a kingdom that comes in the future. You see there, verse 12, they have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Well, then we go on here. Verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So we have the beast, the Antichrist, and the revived Roman Empire, the 10 horns. They get together and they come to make war with the beast, with the Antichrist. No, the beast and the revived Roman Empire come together to make war against Christ, against Israel protected in the wilderness, and Christ comes back in chapter 19. And that's what we are. We are called. Effectual calling, chosen. We are chosen and we are faithful, hopefully. Well, we are faithful through the power of the Lord if we're Christians. And so, here we got the different world kingdoms, the seven heads. We got the eighth head, which is the Antichrist, and they come to Armageddon. And then he explains here, verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Well, the United States has always been known as a melting pot over all the nations and tongues internally. And externally, the United States is ruling over the earth today in influence, Babylon the Great. And wouldn't it be natural for Babylon the Great to be the world's biggest economy? That would be natural, and that's what it is. And so she rules over these peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So we have her sitting on the waters, on all the peoples. And so finally at the end, the beast, the Antichrist, in with the ten kings, they attack Babylon the Great, and they eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And we're going to see much more about that in chapter 18 next time. Chapter 18 is even clearer that it's the United States. The chapter 18 is crystal clear. And you know, many people have thought Babylon the Great was the Roman Catholic Church. But the Roman Catholic Church really doesn't fit these things very well at all. And it certainly does not fit chapter 18. And sometimes people, like I say, they like to divide it into one Babylon the Great in 17, another one in 18. But why would you do that? It's got the same name. It's all through. It's right together, Babylon the Great. So they eat her flesh. What happens with a nuclear... Of course, I think what happens in chapter 18 is the Babylon the Great is attacked by a nuclear holocaust, nuclear bombs. And what happens to people's flesh when the nuclear bombs eat her flesh and burn her with fire? Terrible fire with that. But we're going to see more about that next time. God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. And so, you know, you see that all through the Bible. God uses the ungodly to fulfill his will. He uses them. And he'll use the ten kings, the ten countries that are united together. A lot of people have thought that this ten countries or ten kings is the European common market. I think that might be part of it, but I think there'll be more to it. I think Russia will probably be in with it, maybe China, whatever. And so we have, it puts in their hearts to do his will. And then it says, that woman is that great city that reigneth over the kings of the earth. Well, you say, well, you know, the United States isn't a city, it's a country, it's a huge country. Well, you know, by the standards of Bible times, the United States is a city. By communication standards, how long does it take to communicate from one end of the United States to the other? It takes immediate, right away. That was better than there was in cities back in those days. How long does it take to go from one end to the other end? It takes a few hours, that's it. You know, back with Nineveh, with Jonah, it took 3 days to go around the city of Nineveh. And we can go all around the United States in 3 days. It's that great city which reigns, and it's a city. It's not the Pope. It's not the Roman Catholic Church. It's not that. It's a city. It's a political entity. But that political entity also has a religious aspect to it. And a spiritual aspect to it. Well, you know, I say that the height of America was 1929. It's not that long from 1929, less than 100 years. But it doesn't take very long for countries to go bad. It doesn't take very long. Nineveh had the great revival under Jonah. And just a few years later, they were leading the northern kingdom into captivity. And it doesn't take that long. And so, unfortunately, that's where we are. And then finally, let's look in our Old Testament to Proverbs chapter 24. I want to leave you with a little note here. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 11. Proverbs 24 and verse 11. If thou forbear to deliver those that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, And he that keepeth thy soul, shall he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Well, what has the United States done? Well, many times they have actively promoted the cause of the communists and ungodly, but also other times they've just not helped the good guys. They've just turned their back on the good guys, ignored them. Back when the Chinese were taking over, communists were taking over China, there was our guy over there, Stillwell, he said, "With my pen, I'm disarming so many divisions of the nationalist Chinese and delivering them over to the communists." But anyway, you know, there are sins of omission. You know, if we don't do something, it's a sin. Not only if we do things, but if we don't do them. If we forbear to deliver those that are drawn unto death. And of course, these are great verses when you talk about abortion. You know, we ought to be working against abortion. We ought to be trying to fight abortion however we can. And of course, in this election, voting for people that are against abortion or whatever. But, you know, we can't just, you know, say, "Oh, I don't see anything," or "I'm just going to ignore that. I'm not going to do anything." You know, that's a sin in itself. We've got to do something against the sin in our country, do something to promote righteousness. We can't say, "Behold, we knew it not." God knows in our heart whether we know it or not. And of course, why don't we bring that down also to witnessing? What about witnessing? You know, our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, you know, a lot of those are very hard to witness to, and, you know, it's hard to get an opening, but, you know, we need to not give up on it, and we don't want to be, just say, "Oh, just ignore them and not worry about witnessing." We need to witness. We need to look for opportunities to witness. We need to try to give out the gospel, and once again, the greatest way to give out the gospel, even under COVID and the Chinese flu, is tracts, I believe. They're still good. And that's the best way. And there's a lot of other ways. But we just can't sit on our hands, cross our arms, not do anything, and think we're all right. We can't do that. We have to be active for the Lord. "Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it?" So we were saved not only to have communion with the Lord, not only to go to heaven, but also to serve him with our whole heart and mind and soul and body. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord, we pray that thou would bless these thoughts to our hearts. And O Lord, help us to be the Christians that thou would have us to be. Help us not to have sins of omission. Help us not to forbear to do that which is right. And, O Lord, just give us the grace to do what is right. In Jesus' name, amen.